It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good afternoon, 109 Mark. Glad to be back with you on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Like the man said, my name is Ian Hoke. I am the senior studio producer for Scoot on the Air and the assistant program director and brand manager right here at WWL Radio. Scoot's great. Scoot is doing great. He went to an Ayurvedic yoga retreat in Kathmandu, Nepal, and he looks forward to being back again soon. I'm just kidding. Scoot did not go to an Ayurvedic yoga retreat in Nepal, but he will be back soon. Until then, I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me. On the show today, we're going to talk to Christian Stokes about the mortuary haunted house. I know some folks got a chance to go see the mortuary on media night last week, so I got some reviews in already, but always a good time at the mortuary. So we'll talk to Christian Stokes about what new frights are on tap this year from the mortuary. Their theme is Hellection. Get it? Like, you know, Hellection 2024. In case you weren't frightened enough of our politics, they're going to do a little bit more to turn the screws, as it were. I wonder if you like haunted houses. I always ask people if that's the kind of thing they enjoy doing, you know, because experiential stuff like that is a big deal now. You know, people love doing escape rooms and immersive experiences like a haunted house. You know, that's a sort of new frontier in entertainment and in nightlife. And I always am curious about, you know, how people feel about haunted houses and people jump out of them with chainsaws, you know, doing the jump scares. You walk through a creepy room with weird puppets, you know, weird stuff like that. So if you know of any good haunted houses, we can talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. We have the news bomb at 2:10. Of course, we'll be talking about some of the kind of a lot's happened since you heard from me last. You got a crisis in the Middle East. You got a crisis in the southern U.S. after the hurricane. You got a crisis with the striking dock workers. So we got a ton to talk about. We'll do the bulk of that in the 2 o'clock hour. In just a few minutes, I'm going to speak with David Schultz. He's a professor of political science at Hamline University in Minnesota. He's been on the show before. Really bright guy. Looking forward to this conversation. Late yesterday afternoon, we got this breaking news about special counsel Jack Smith and the Washington, D.C. election interference case. And we now have this report. It's 165 pages, dropped yesterday, and has some pretty interesting new insights into Donald Trump's actions between Election Day of 2020 and January 6th, 2021. Lots to unpack there. Will it have any effect on the 2024 election? Doubt it, but we got to talk about it anyway. So we're going to step away early here and come back with Professor David Schultz from Hamline University and get that conversation underway. Always love talking to you. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. The number to do it is 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line. I will read 100% of the text messages you sent in today. I'll reply to as many as I can, and the very best ones I will read on the air, so make them count. I'm here with you until 4 o'clock. Let's cut loose and have a good time. I'm Ian Hoke on WWL BRB.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Reading now from Politico.com, special counsel Jack Smith will not get a chance to bring his best criminal case against Donald Trump to trial before the 2024 election. And if Trump wins, Smith will probably never get that chance. But on Wednesday, the public got its most complete look at the evidence that Smith has amassed to try to prove that the former president orchestrated criminal conspiracies as he sought to overturn his loss 4 years ago. Here to help us understand this is David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. Professor, good afternoon. Thanks for making time today.
And thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I know you got to run off to teach some of your students in a little bit. So when we get close, you let me know and we'll get you out of here gracefully. So, Professor, let's kind of begin with the broader concept here about this presidential immunity ruling that we got. Jack Smith is now saying in this report that Trump is not immune from these charges because none of this was official acts. And the Supreme Court had said if the president is engaged in an official act in a way that seems to be illegal, too bad. If it was an official act of the president, they can't be held responsible for that, even if it seems to have broken the law in some other way. But Jack Smith has now laid out a strong case that none of this is an official act. These were actions that Donald Trump took as a private citizen. Do you think that that will stick, or will the courts find some other way to let him off the hook here?
Well, first off, I think you correctly described what the Supreme Court said back end of June, where the court said, let's think about presidents when they act. If they're acting when they're in their official capacity, their core functions, they have or enjoy absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. If it's within an area that is possibly official, then there's still a presumption of immunity that can be rebutted. And then there's things that fall completely outside of official presidential acts here. What the court did back in June is to say, listen, based upon what we see right now, this all looks like it might be within official presidential activity, threw it back to the lower court. So Jack Smith comes back now and says that, listen, I've got a lot of evidence, private evidence here that suggests that Trump was acting not in his capacity as president, but in his capacity as a private citizen, or let's just say as a candidate for president. Mm-hmm. And as a candidate for president, he would be no different than anybody else running for president of the United States. And he tries to argue first that as a candidate for president, I can show that he's not acting as presidential capacity. The people he conferred with were private attorneys. They were his own private counsel. These were people he was interacting with, advisors who also were not part of the government. And so he's making right. that argument in a lot of words. Then he's also saying that, listen, even if in some cases the court thinks that he might have been acting as an official capacity, we have enough evidence to counteract that. So it's a pretty powerful motion, pretty powerful set of facts here. Certainly, still not everything is laid out. But what this is going to do is make it difficult for a lower court at this point, if it were to go any further, for a lower court to say, ah, we're just dismissing this based upon the Trump versus United States case. It gets them beyond in the door. It gets them, if I can use a metaphor, it gets them in the room for some legal arguments.
Excellent. Okay, so I know that you have already read the 165-page report. A lot of folks are doing kind of like, roundups, like, the most 11 most damning details or the top five revelations from the 165-page report. Professor, what was your kind of top-line reaction as you were going through the report? Was there anything that stood out to you more than something else, something shocking, something unexplainable, something you didn't know before?
Well, I think what stands out the most here is the fact that there were several instances, again, assuming all the allegations are true here, obviously, there are several indications in here where Trump's immediate advisors, both on his campaign and in his governmental and government officials, that said to him repeatedly, and you're also talking about governors in places like Georgia, who said to them, there's no evidence of fraud. No evidence of fraud. You lost. You lost because you didn't get enough votes from women, or you lost because of you didn't outperform other Republicans, et cetera, et cetera. And he's told this repeatedly. And nonetheless, he still says, well, we still have to fight. We still have to challenge this. And that's the part that I think is really interesting here, is that if all the allegations are true, he knows well before January 6th, well before even when the Electoral College meets to vote, and even on election day, he's got people telling him, listen, you're ahead today, but when all the votes come in, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, that really speaks to his state of mind of what he actually knew. And it wasn't just simply him saying, listen, I'm not sure if I've won. I'm going to fight like heck. what they're arguing, saying he knew. And despite the fact that he knew, he engaged in activities that he knew were going to be potentially damaging or riotous.
I'm glad you mentioned his state of mind, because that I think the prosecution's ability to prove intent here is tantamount. How significant do you view that in a case like this one?
Well, in any criminal case, just to remind listeners here, you have to prove two things. You have to prove that somebody did something, like, for example, picked up a gun and shot somebody. But then you also have to prove they did it with a requisite or an appropriate type of intent.
Right.
And so, for example, if you attacked me with a gun and I shot you and killed you, I could say, yeah, my intent was not murder. My intent was to defend myself. And that's a good defense. On the other hand, if I just see you walking down the street and I say, well, gosh, I don't like you, and I'm going to single you out and shoot you, that's a different story entirely. So knowing your state of mind is important. And showing state of mind here is critical, because they're showing here, allegedly showing here, the president knew what he was doing was potentially, well, not just potentially, but arguments here, knew that he had lost. And two, he was aware of possibly trying to encourage action that would be leading up to, including the riot on the day that occurred. And I think maybe one of the other damaging things I thought was interesting here is that on January 6th, when people are telling him, for example, that Pence is in danger, all these things are happening, allegedly Trump comes back and says, well, so? What do I care?
So what?
So what? So
literally said, me, so what? Yeah.
Yeah, so what? And if that's true, saying so what, that your own vice president is potentially in danger, that's, again, that's pretty incriminating if all this is true.
Yeah, I think we forget about that. People like to quibble about what was in the speech at the Ellipse. You know, we got to go up there and protest peacefully. Okay, set all that aside for a minute. While the riot is happening, Donald Trump is still tweeting that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to intervene and refuse to certify the election. I don't know, just one of those things that, you know, is really important to the whole story, but we sometimes forget. I was going to say,
you're absolutely right, because remember, he's still president. I think one of his duties is to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's in the Constitution. And if people are storming the Capitol, again, Jack Smith is arguing this, that part of the duty of the president of the United States is protect the Capitol, protect government property.
Yeah. So let's talk about that then. Trump's, you know, taking no action as the Capitol is being attacked, and whether or not you believe that Trump was responsible for the attack in the first place, isn't it dereliction of duty for him to do nothing while it's happening?
And I think that's exactly what Smith is arguing here, too, is that he's going to say, yeah, Trump clearly was trying to overturn the election, clearly was trying to persuade or influence Congress in terms of what it was doing or obstruct Congress's performance. But part of what he also alleges is to say that, listen, at this critical point when a riot is occurring and when the Capitol is being stormed, people are being hurt at this point. And we have stories of Capitol guards and so forth being hurt. He's sitting there, and I don't want to use the phrase, but I will use it here. Remember that old phrase, Nero fiddles while Rome burns?
Of course.
There's almost a sense when I was waiting for Jack Smith to quote that and say something like that along the line here. But that's essentially what he's alleging here, is saying the Capitol's on fire, or the Capitol's being stormed, the president's responsible to do something, and he's just sending out tweets complaining about Pence not doing his job. If all this is accurate, again, this is pretty damning and pretty incriminating in terms of, I think at one point Smith uses the phrase, kind of a deliberate indifference or a willful indifference to what was going on.
Yeah, everyone's, you know, we got dereliction of duty at the border, and we got dereliction of duty at Department of Homeland Security. We're going to impeach these people. We're going to prosecute them. If this isn't dereliction of duty, I don't know what is. Trump also said on Marine One, apparently, Smith alleges, it doesn't matter if you won or lost the election, you still have to fight like hell. And Professor, I wonder what a comment like that, what a mindset like that does to challenge the bedrock principles of election integrity in our democracy. I mean, a person with that mindset, it doesn't matter if you won or lost, you have to fight like hell. I mean, if that's just something you said in, as a passing comment, okay, but we can see that he actually did fight like hell. How does that challenge the principles of our democracy?
Well, it does, because you think about one of the most important principles of American democracy that really goes back to the beginning of our republic is the idea that when losers lose, they say, congratulations to the winner, good luck, and I hope I get you in 4 years.
Right.
And what we mean by that is, you've won fair and square, I'm going to run like hell against you, and I hope to beat you in 4 years. It's about being the phrase that many of us learned about, being the gracious loser. And even though nothing is written in the books that say you have to be a gracious loser, or you can't be, you basically can't whine in situations like this, that's an unwritten rule of democracy. That's an unwritten rule that says you respect election returns, you respect the process, and we want to hope this is what separates us from what we used to call, you know, the banana republics, you know, that the places right. where there an election would occur, and then somebody would say, well, I don't like what's happening here, and I'm just going to do a coup or something like that. That is the hallmark of democracy, respect for, again, the unwritten norms mm-hmm. of being a gracious loser.
The brief, let's see. Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that tweet. So he's alone in the Oval Office completely by himself when he sends out that tweet about Mike Pence not having the courage to refuse to certify the election. And we know this because people told Jack Smith that he was alone at that time. Mm-hmm. But also they have done forensic analysis of his phone. And I'm curious if you have any idea how they did that. Like, whose phone is this? Is this Donald Trump's private phone? Is this a phone that's assigned to him by White House staff? How do they do a forensic analysis of the former president's phone?
Well, first off, I think it is his private phone he was using. This is a problem that went all the way back, for example, to Barack Obama, that Obama had a BlackBerry at this point. He wanted to keep it.
Right.
And the Secret Service said, oh, no, you're not going to do that. It's going to be too easy for somebody to track you down as president. But my understanding is that Trump kept, and I may be wrong, but kept his own private phone. And what people don't realize is how easy it is to figure out what you're doing on your phone, even if they don't have possession of it. I went to a training session once and found out that even if your phone is turned off, they can figure out where you are. If you make a phone call, they can figure out off of what side of the tower that, the big towers, you know, cell phone towers, where you pinged it, et cetera, et cetera. So it does not surprise me. Although I don't know all the technology on this, it doesn't surprise me that they could do remote forensic analysis. I mean, this is a whole different story for a different day about how much the government can actually figure out what's going on.
Wow. Man, that's nuts.
I know.
Too many secrets. Okay, I did want to talk also about this comment from an unidentified Trump campaign employee, reading again from Politico. The employee, whom prosecutors describe as a co-conspirator, sought to create chaos at a polling center in Detroit when it became clear that a batch of election returns favorable to Joe Biden was legitimate. This person said, find a reason it isn't legitimate.
Yep.
And when the colleague said an outbreak of violence appeared imminent, the campaign employee replied, make them riot and do it. So again, we don't know, because it's not revealed in the report, who that employee is. My guess is it's John Eastman or Kenneth Cheesebro. They seem to fit the profile. But from a legal perspective, where does free speech end and criminal liability begin in a situation like this?
Well, the general standard is to say that if you're advocating imminent lawlessness, and that lawlessness is imminent, that's the actual Supreme Court, line on that one. That's when speech ends and let's say true threats or something else kicks in at this point. And at this point, with that statement here, it's becoming clear to them that they're not just making this, again, if Jack Smith is correct, or they're not just simply saying, let the heavens do what they want to do, or let the chips fall where they may. They seem to be saying, yeah, we know that this is not These are not stolen ballots. These are not fraudulent ballots. There's nothing illegal going on here. And yeah, we're going to make mischief for the, and we're cognizant. We're aware that this is going to cause a riot. I mean, if it's not, if it hasn't crossed the edge from free speech to non-free speech, it certainly is at the razor's edge of that line between the two.
Just a few more minutes left, Professor, here. I'll give you two more. There's also a section in here where Jack Smith is asserting that Trump and his allies just straight up fabricated voter fraud statistics. It's not like they got a report that maybe wasn't verified and they went ahead and ran with it anyway. No, they just sat around and literally just invented a number of voter fraud statistics about, oh, this many illegal aliens voted or this many ballots were thrown out or whatever. So, and Jack Smith believes he can prove that, otherwise it wouldn't be in here. So what legal and ethical issues arise from that kind of spreading of disinformation? Could that lead to changes in how misinformation or disinformation is regulated in political campaigns?
Well, two things. First, we already know that some of that misinformation has led to Rudy Giuliani being disbarred.
Right.
You know, that there's a famous line, not in this document, in a previous one, where he said something like, well, we have theories, we just don't have any facts, you know, regarding, you know, voter fraud. And so he manufactures a bunch of these allegations, including, I'm forgetting, what was it now, that famous scene where he shows up at a landscaping place. You remember that now? They were going to book a place, and it turned out to be a landscaping
place. Four Seasons Landscaping. Everyone thought it was the hotel.
That's right. That's right. So he's already been disbarred for it. So for attorneys, him and Eastman, the consequences are pretty significant. This is an interesting question now regarding will it lead to changes in the law? Again, a whole different subject here. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in class today is California had just passed a law banning deep fakes, you know, in politics, and a district court just struck that down as unconstitutional on free speech grounds. And so we're now starting to get into really sort of the, you know, the, what is it, the twilight zone of the First Amendment, where we've got people who are making claims that are turning out to be false. Let's say they know they're false. Should they be protected under the First Amendment? And under current doctrine, lies are generally protected. But there's a lot of people out there pushing back and saying that maybe there is no First Amendment free speech right to lie. And I think this is going to be one of the big issues that we're going to see emerging this year, as has already happened, and going into the future. Do we want to rethink the current lines, how the law is drawn about truth versus lies?
Fascinating and frightening. Last question here. My guest is Professor David Schultz from Hamline University. The report doesn't have as many redactions as some people might have expected, but there's a not insignificant amount of redactions in there. Just if you wanted to just kind of offer a guess or any insight about what might be in those redactions and why it's redacted.
Well, some of it's going to be other witnesses. We can make some guesses. You're right. Cheeseborough, Eastman, Giuliani. But I suspect there are other witnesses in there. They don't want to disclose who they are at this point for fear of witness tampering and also for fear that if they were to disclose and say person number six is John Doe, whoever, a real John Doe, a real name like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're afraid these people are going to get death threats. And unfortunately, that's a legitimate concern in our society now, is that especially situations like this, that you start to list all the witnesses, they're going to face possible retribution and death threats.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want our audience to know before we let you go, Professor?
I think this is potentially, but I'm not sure, the last, for now, unknown or October surprise before the election. And I say potentially because still other things can happen here. Now, whether or not this is going to change the trajectory of the campaign, I doubt it. I mean, we've been frozen in our polls. We've been frozen in our views on, first it was Biden versus Trump and now Harris versus Trump for months. At the end of the day, I almost read this as a historical document. And what I mean by that is that it's going to go, if Trump wins, it's going to go in the history books or disappear from it. If he loses, who knows what's going to happen. But in some sense, it was Jack Smith sort of saying, I've got to tell the story no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Great. David Schultz is a professor of political science at Hamline University. Really nice speaking with you. And again, thanks for being available today. Thanks for your time, your work, and your way. Have a great one.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. And thanks to the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Goodbye. We'll talk again, Professor. And we will step away and come back with more of you, your calls, your texts. I don't have another scheduled interview until about 3:30. So there's plenty of time for us to talk about this 165-page report. I'll go over some of the details that I didn't quite get to in my conversation with Professor Schultz. But if you want to react to anything you just heard from either myself or the professor, give me a call. I'll talk to anybody about anything. It's 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot, and I'll be right back after this. Give me a call, 504-260-1870. I can get you on right away. Here's a text message that says, Joe Biden did not win fair and square. Several states counted votes that were not lawfully cast. Which states? You know, where? What evidence? There is no evidence of that. I can't believe we're still doing it. So many people, so many institutions have been trying like mad for the last 4 years to find any evidence of voter fraud, and they're all coming up with nothing. I am satisfied with that. I think you should be too. You should be satisfied that the MyPillow guy and Donald Trump and Steve Bannon and everybody else is out here tearing their hair out looking for evidence of voter fraud, and they can't find it. And if they find something that they think is voter fraud, they take it to the courts, and the court says, no, that's not voter fraud. And the fact that you brought that into my courtroom saying that that's voter fraud is so egregious that we're going to disbar you. That's happened to like half a dozen of these people now. So if you, texter, are still out here asserting that Joe Biden did not win fair and square because several states counted votes that were not lawfully cast, you should know there is no evidence for what you are saying. It is a lie. It is an old lie. And you're still repeating it. And I all I can do is just keep explaining what I've just explained. Here's another text that says, Trump ordered the officer guards, Pelosi declined. Yeah, he's talking about, there's another text right behind it that says the same thing. What about the 10,000 National Guard that Trump requested but was denied by the mayor of D.C. and Pelosi? Again, there's no evidence of that happening. You cannot find an email, a tweet, a phone call that Trump ordered 10,000 National Guards people to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and Pelosi declined it. That's the only person that's out there saying that is Donald Trump. There's no evidence that that communication ever happened at all. Again, you're repeating Donald Trump's lies, which is fine if you want to do that. But, you know, we have the right to kind of tell you, hey, man, let it go. Here's a text that says anyone can challenge an election except Trump, apparently, and all the allegations have come true within the last 3 years. So what's your point? What allegations have become true within the last 3 years? You got to get a little bit more specific than that. To your broader point about anyone can challenge an election, I got some other texters in here saying, oh, 2016 election, Hillary Clinton, gracious loser. I think not. Somebody else texted in a link to a video on Twitter of a 20-minute supercut of Hillary Clinton and others, you know, saying that the elections that they lost weren't conducted fairly or there was some other sort of foreign interference or whatever. And that's pretty different. Like if they're, you know, on the stage at the Aspen Institute or whatever, some fundraiser, or they're on The Talk and they make a comment about how the election that they lost wasn't fairly conducted or there was some sort of foreign interference or some sort of criminal activity. That is very different from committing crimes to overturn an election that they knew they lost. And that's the difference between these two things. Do I think it's suboptimal that any politician from any party is out here saying the election that I just lost wasn't fairly conducted and the reason I lost is because of fraud or cheating or whatever. Yeah, I think that's suboptimal. Like I was talking about with Professor Schultz, that's a bedrock principle of democracy, the ability to graciously lose an election and then come back and try and win the next one. That's a really important principle for us. But to say that Donald Trump's alleged criminal actions enough to fill up a 165-page report is the same thing as Hillary Clinton on stage, you know, with David Brooks or somebody saying, well, my election didn't go the way I wanted, and I think it's because Trump cheated. Those aren't the same thing. And we can talk about both of those things in the contexts that demands, but we're not going to falsely equivocate those. Here's a text that says, people know the sky is blue. They look up to see the sky is blue. They are told by experts the sky is blue. But they or their friends are told by people that they don't know that it's not blue. Why do they believe it? The Death of Expertise is the name of the book by a guy named Tom Nichols that we had on the show a couple years ago. And I remember him saying people's ability to kind of do their own research and choose who's got the voice of authority on any issue, whether that's politics or something else, it's like a drug. People love being able to make their own decisions about what's true or what's not because it makes them feel a few inches taller, as opposed to them just taking the word of an expert who they may or may not know. It's a strange position that we find ourselves in as a country when we have so many people who are, going through the world that way. All right, let's get some phone calls here. Let's go to Mike in Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, my question to you is, do y'all know when Biden was certified as the winner of the election?
Certified? January 6th.
Yeah, when was he certified? Like 2 days later?
No, it was later that night after the riot.
Okay, yeah, very later that night. And do you realize that what returns come in always the last to come in? Mm. Always Democratic counties all over the whole country. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well,
why do you think the returns of the states that are in contention always come in last? Like California, gazillion people. Does that come in last? Hell no, because everybody knows California's going blue. Correctly? Is that correct or not?
No, hold on, Mike. You asked me a direct question, Mike. I would love to answer it, and then I can answer the other questions that you have. Okay. You asked why do Democratic votes come in later than Republican votes? It's very simple. It's just a matter of numbers. If you have districts that have, you know, several million people in them, it takes longer to tabulate and cross-check and get all that voting does than it does a county or two over where there's maybe 20,000 votes. So it shouldn't surprise you that it takes a longer time because there's more people there. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, why magically would a mail-in vote is separated from the names of the people who mailed in before they were counted?
Say again?
I mean, y'all don't want to face
Wait,
reality.
No.
That's a fact.
Say that question again. I didn't understand it.
All I said was there was ridiculous discrepancies with the last presidential election, and it's ridiculous. It's the counties that are more likely to cheat, which everybody knows, or the Democratic counties in the big inner cities. That's where the fraudulent voting would occur if it does occur. And y'all don't want to face those realities. It's pathetic that they have to stop the election and stop the counting in some states. We also saw videos of votes pulled underneath a table in Atlanta, which magically they said that's the way it's usually done in Atlanta.
Man,
you know, magically, yeah. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. I saw it. I see all the things, man. And
all I'm saying is there was loads of discrepancies around this election that should be pointed out. As far as going back and saying,
no, Mike, people do point them out. They have been put. They've been pointed out over. They've been pointed out over and over and over again, Mike. And either they are unsubstantiated claims, or there's just a matter of misinterpretation, like the video. Let me just finish. Let me finish
smoke,
this, Mike.
There's not fire.
I'm saying if there's somebody pointing and saying, hey, there's smoke over there, and then everyone goes over and investigates the smoke and there's no fire, then you got to wonder about the person that's sitting in smoke. No.
Right. Yeah.
There was no fire. Yeah, there was no smoke.
And you're saying there never was any fire with the smoke.
No.
Either.
I'm saying there was no fire and no smoke.
Bottom line, I'm not going to sit here and say that it was you know, a faulty election or whatever. All I'm saying is there was plenty of discrepancies that need to be corrected, and they're obvious.
All right, Mike. Well, we'll leave it there. That's your story, and you're sticking to it. Let's go to Prentice in Georgia. Hi, you're on WWL.
Yes, sir. I want to just be transparent. I am a delegate for the Democratic National Committee. I'm here in town, and I think, you know, the whole thing about all these politics, look, I have worked with a lot of minorities. I'm a white, former white Republican, and when Trump came into office, I'm just trying to agree with you because I know y'all are very anti-Trump. And I was not anti-Trump. I voted for him last time. But the thing at the Capitol, and look, the way I want to just say about the whole show y'all have, y'all don't just stay with one party. The mayor's a friend of mine in New Orleans, okay? And she's been through some tough times. And your host, I think you're much more of a man than the other guy, but y'all have taken that poor woman. You know, she had that husband died, and y'all on the phone. You not, but the scoop guy's on the phone talking about her personal life and made it a funnier thing about the booty gate and all. She had needs, man. You know, she made a mistake, and so.
She had needs? All right. Well, thanks a lot for calling in. I'm not
just
touching.
For the record, we didn't cut him off. He dropped. I don't want people to, because people assume that.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe he just bored himself. Let's go to Chris in New Orleans. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, man? What about the Brunson Brothers case that's coming up at this? It's actually. In the Supreme Court, it's actually, they already made a judgment on it. It's getting ready to come out. What about that case? It's going to come out to prove that Congress was wrong in saying Biden won. They didn't investigate it enough and everything, and they're going to put it null and void.
I'm not totally sure what you're talking about, Chris. Can you color it in for us? Who are the Brunson brothers?
The Brunson brothers is two brothers that brought a case up to the Supreme Court that said basically Congress did not do their job correctly, that they didn't do their due diligence and investigate all the voter fraud over 80 different cases of voter fraud. They didn't investigate, they didn't do nothing. They just went ahead and said Biden won without even investigating it. All right, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
Congress broke the law.
That sounds illegal.
And that's getting ready to come out. That the Supreme Court made a judgment in the, you know, for the Brunson brothers, saying that they're right, that Congress did break the law, and Biden basically, you know, is his election, his, well, him being said he was president, is going to be illegal, and they're going to null and void it.
Sure. We'll have to take a look at that, Chris. I'm going to educate myself a little bit during this next commercial break and see what you're talking about. It would be pretty weird for a case like that to get all the way to the Supreme Court without going through lower courts first. So there'd be some unpacking to do there. I'm pretty late. We'll step back and come back with your calls and texts after this. 504-260-1870. Stick around. The Supreme Court case that Chris was just talking about is Brunson versus Sotomayor et al. This appeal grew out of a disagreement over the outcome in a prior suit where Mr. Brunson challenged the outcome of the 2020 election. A district court dismissed that suit. The Supreme Court affirmed. And then Mr. Brunson brought a second case. He's actually suing three associate justices of the Supreme Court in their official capacities for dismissing his first lawsuit. So I don't think that's not telling the same story that Chris was just trying to tell us. So I think we can safely set that aside, but time will tell as usual. When we come back, we'll take care of some more of your calls and texts. If you're on hold, stay there. I promise I'm going to get to you as fast as I can after we hear from Chris Miller in our news department. Then we'll do the news bomb. We got lots more to talk about on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Ian Hokin for Scoot. Be right back after this.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.